so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. Go with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've got about 20 to 30 minutes, and I don't think I'm going to have any trouble getting through this message. Oh, ye of little faith. It's a simple message, but I believe that it will help somebody in this place. Because what I have learned is that we have a very short memory on the blessing side of God, but a long memory on the destruction side of our life. Usually, when God does something phenomenal in our life, we give Him praise for a little while, but when the devil destroys something, we give Him praise for a long while. So today, I want to give you just six reminders. Six devil-defeating reminders is what I want to give you. Some devil-defeating reminders of how you are to defeat the powers of hell in your life. Now, my goodness, Brian Cutshaw gave us some great spiritual warfare, but these are going to be some simple things for us to remember and or do. Because the Apostle Paul knew what it was to fail, and he knew what it was to be sifted by the devil. Anybody ever felt like you've been sifted by the devil? Anybody ever felt like that the devil's got your address and your phone number on speed dial, and you're not sure if Jesus knows where you live or not? But I've come by to tell you that yes, he does know exactly where you live, and he has not left you defenseless. Because let's look at what Peter had to say about this defeat and this battle years later in his life. How many remember when you were 25? Now, some of you ain't 25, but how many remember when you were 25 and you thought you knew everything? And then you turned 35 and realized you wasn't as smart as you thought you was. And then you turned 45 and you thought, my Lord, was I dumb. And then you turned 55. I'm not there yet. But when you turn 50, you think, I didn't have enough sense to come out of the rain. But when you get up a little older, you begin to look back over your life and you begin to look back over what was done and get some wisdom about what you've been through. Everybody needs wisdom, but we only get it through experience. But I need the wisdom before I go through the experience. So here's what John Maxwell, great leader, said. He said that a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from somebody else's mistakes. Amen. So anytime I see somebody going through something, I always ask God, what can I learn so I don't have to go through that, because I want to stay on this side, right? Because I would rather get information and revelation by just the Lord saying it to me. But most of us don't get revelation until we get into a situation. That we don't learn something until we get into the middle of something, and then we can't get out of it. But when you do come out, you will not forget what you learned in the process. All right, so here's what Peter said, our text, verses 8, and I'm going to go verse 9 too, Mike. I'm going to go verse 8 and 9. Here's what he said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. Now, I want you to know who your adversary is. It's not your neighbor. It's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's not your crazy aunt. It is the devil. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that word may tells me that he can't devour everybody. Just seeing who he can. And then verse number 9 says, resist him steadfast. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, out of these two verses, I want to extract six reminders for you to remember when you're going through a battle and when you're fighting the devil. All right? So let's pray. Father, I pray that you give me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, give us ears to hear, a mind to receive, and a heart to be open to what you want to say to us today in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, in our text, the first thing it says is be sober. Be sober. Now, you may say, but Pastor, you know, we're Pentecostal. We're always sober. I've seen some drunk folks in the Holy Ghost, that's for sure. But Pastor, what do you mean by be sober? Well, here's point number one. Here we go. Don't drink what the devil serves. Now, you're talking about liquor? Well, yeah, I am, but not. No. Here's what I'm talking about. Now, we all know, and I'm going to be very sensitive because I understand what has happened over the weekend with these young girls that were lost tragically, and I'm being very sensitive. I didn't know that happened until this morning, but I'd already prepared my message. But I want to be very sensitive to that, and if you know those people, you need to pray for those families and pray for those that survive. A drunk driver drives without awareness of what's going on around him because he is under a wrong influence of a wrong spirit. And so when Peter said be sober, then he's telling us to make sure we don't drink everything that the devil serves. How many knows that we will be more affected by what somebody who don't even know us says more than what the Word of God says? We are more affected by what somebody has decreed over us or declared over us, and they don't even know who we are. But because that they think they know, they declare. No, you need to go back to the person who made you and see what he declared over you, and what he said over you was that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that he made you while you were still in your mother's womb. He formed you, your inward parts. So I don't care what the enemy comes by to selling. I'm not buying what he's selling because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. So I've got to be sober. We're called to be sober. In other words, be aware. Be alert. You know, I tell my children, I tell my family, no matter where you go, always be alert of your surroundings. Because people, most of the time, crime is going to happen to an unsuspecting person. You on your phone, going out to your car, and you're not paying attention. That's when a purse gets snatched. That's when you get mugged. But I promise you, you walk out. Matter of fact, people will get away from you. It'll happen. See, I've been ambushed too many times. Y'all didn't go to the school I went to. You had to have your head on a swivel. I mean, I'm one of those guys, I don't like sitting with my back to the door. I want to know who's coming through the door. Let me tell you one quick story. My wife and I went shopping. Well, it was many years ago, I think 04, we went shopping in New York. And my wife had heard about these places that you could go and get cheap knockoffs. So we went down this alley. We went up through this other place. And then I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, it's going to be on. I know it is. I'm praying. My wife's got shopping on her mind. And she's going at it. So we get there, and there was a secret knock to get in this place. We standing there, and there was a two Spanish ladies that was standing there beside us waiting to get in. And the two ladies looked at me and took a step back. I went, oh, Jesus. So the long story short, we got in. My wife took her coat off, gave it to me, and just started shopping. She was oblivious. Not me. I stood at the corner. And there were four guys in there. One guy said, relax, man. I said, I am relaxed. This is the way I relax. And I started sizing up. I seen one guy limping. I go, I'll take his leg out first. I know y'all don't think like this, but it's all right. Pastor, you're so violent. Yes, I am. So don't mess with me. No, just kidding. So I started thinking, I'd take his leg out. I could probably maybe even break it. I'm going to take that one on next probably. Yeah, he'll kill me. The other two helped bury my body somewhere. But I was alert. I'm aware. I'm ready to go. But the problem is we walk in this life thinking that the devil doesn't have you in his sights. That you think what has happened to you just happened because of just que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, the enemy has a plot, but God has a plan. The enemy has a plot to destroy you, but God has a plan to cause you to be an overcomer no matter what the devil and anybody else does around you. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit will alert us while a wrong spirit will divert us. So be sober. The enemy is always trying to get people under some kind of wrong influence. Every time you act out in an ugly way, it's a wrong influence. You know, when you were raising your children, did you ever ask them who you've been hanging around? I used to ask my kids that all the time. Because they start acting wrong. How many of you use this? Some of you older folk. Hey, I didn't raise you like this. Well, somebody influenced their life. And so when we start acting out or acting wrong, then we've got to ask the question, who are we letting influence us? What spirit are we letting influence us? Because we are children of the Most High God. So I'd ask my daughters every once in a while, who you been hanging out with? I wouldn't ask them every once in a while. I'd ask them always. I want to know who they're hanging out with. I want to know why they got an attitude, because I will beat that attitude out of them. Oh, you are. No, no, no. I believe in discipline, not abuse. Amen? So understand, the Holy Spirit will alert us while the wrong spirit will divert us. And so, listen, some of you feel like you've been abused by your Heavenly Father. The problem is you letting the wrong influence in your life, and then you want to blame God for what the devil did. Good preaching, Pastor. Remember what Paul asked the Galatians who had been moved away from the gospel? He said, who has bewitched you? The potion the enemy would offer you to drink are intoxicating you, and his desires are many for you. So that leads me to the next passage. He said, be sober, be vigilant. So point number two is battle like a ballerina. Battle like a ballerina. What do you mean by that? A ballerina is always on her toes. If she's dancing, she's on her toes. And when you're on your toes, you're alert. When you're on your toes, you can look a little higher than you normally would. You know, how many of you, you know, my wife is 4'10 and a half. So she has, if anybody's in front of her, she's always trying to look over or something. And you can get a little bit more distance if you get on your toes. The problem is too many of us are standing flat-footed and our eyes are not on the horizon. Our eyes are where we're at. And where you're at is not where you will always be. God has some great things in store for you. Just look beyond where you are right now. See, the ballerina stays on her toes. She too must be vigilant, and so do you. This is the call to stay on your toes and to be alert. Staying on one toes means that you can see a little further and a little bit more of what's going on around you. Now listen to me, church. You don't need to live focusing on the devil. That's not this kind of church. Well, I'm not always focused on the devil. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I enjoy my life, but I am aware that there is an enemy. I am aware that there are people who would want to do me harm. There are people who would want to rob me. There are people who, if I am not alert, will do, but I still enjoy my life. I mean, listen, most of us know those people who have 2,500 canned goods in their basement because they know that the world's going to end. Y2K, remember that? There were people who bought up gold, sold their house. Other people who bought big houses that they couldn't afford because they felt like Jesus was going to come back. Surprise, surprise. Be vigilant. Be sober. Keep your eyes on Jesus, but be aware of the obstacles that the enemy places before you, lest you stumble. Enjoy your life with Jesus. Number three, don't join the devil for lunch. Here's what he said, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, have you ever asked the enemy, the devil, well, what did I ever do to you? And for some of you, he would say, nothing. You're just living. You have the potential. That's the key. You are a potential joy for God. You are a potential pleasure for God. And every time that you do things in accordance with God's word, then God is glorified, and the devil doesn't want that. You see, the devil is like a hungry lion who will join you for lunch and then inform you, you are the lunch. He'll inform you that you are the lunch, that he had invited you. See, that's what the devil does. The devil dogs you out and then turns around and laughs at you. You ever had any friend do that? Don't point at nobody if they're here. A friend that lures you into something and then turns around and laughs at you because you fell for it. That's not much of a friend. The devil is not your friend. The enemy, he's seeking whom he may devour. Listen, number four, respond to the insisting with your resisting. Because verse number nine, resist him. Resist him. Well, what a concept. What a concept. You know, I watch movies sometimes and I tell my wife, I go, I would not fare well in that situation because I would resist. But you don't understand, Pat. No, I would resist. I'm not saying that I would always, I told my wife, if they start torturing me, whatever plans you made, change them. Because I'm going to tell them everything. I'm going to make up stuff. No. I went to the doctor. I went to the emergency room one time. They said, are you allergic to anything? I said, yes, pain. They said, you have a very high tolerance of pain. I go, no, I don't. I don't think I do. Give me something. What could we give you? I don't care. A hammer will work. I don't care. But here's what I know, that we are told to resist the devil, not just fall in line every time the devil says boo. not to shriek back because you're scared. Every time the devil raises his head, you have power through Jesus Christ to bind every power on earth and in heaven. You have that power. Remember, the truth is the devil fears the person who knows who he or she is in Christ. And the problem is we don't know who we are. Well, but Pastor, I just got saved. I don't care. I don't care how long you've been saved. Listen, Elisha, how old is your baby girl? All right, Elisha's baby girl is 9 months. And as soon as that baby was born, it didn't take 9 months for her to become his child. She was his child. Matter of fact, even while she was in her mother's womb, she was his child. I want you to hear me. So just because you got saved yesterday doesn't mean that you don't have authority. Doesn't mean that you don't have power. It doesn't mean that you don't have the right to call upon the power of heaven and the power of heaven to combat the power of hell. You have that right. If you're a child of God, in right standing with God, then you have that right to call on God and say, I might not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I declare by the power of Almighty God that you got to back up and back down because I belong to Jesus. Can you say amen? Resist out of your secured position as a child of God who is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not just resist him with your will. That's the problem with some of us. We resist with our willpower. Willpower is not going to get it done. Willpower is not going to get it done. Well, I don't understand, because some things you can't understand carnally. You can't understand fleshly. You got to understand by the Spirit. And these things you must fight in the Spirit. Wouldn't it be real easy if every time the enemy comes at you, he's dressed up with, like, you know, in red with a pitchfork and a long tail? Wouldn't that be cool? You're like, okay, yeah, I recognize that's the devil. But he doesn't come in that form. Sometimes he comes in the form of your friends. Sometimes he comes in the form of some sweet-looking something. Come on. Hey. Oh, y'all ain't listening to me. Either that or y'all just lying to yourself, right? Comes in the form of something else. That's why you got to make sure you're not drinking what he's serving. That's why you got to make sure that you don't join him for lunch. That's why you got to make sure that you battle like a ballerina. Listen to me, men. I'm gonna tell you men something that you're probably not gonna listen to, but you need to really listen to your wife when she tells you watch so and so. You better listen. My wife would tell me that. You know, I've been married now 30 years. We got married when we were 10. I've been married 30 years now. And man, my wife, you know, especially when we were young, she'd go, you need to watch that person. I'd go, God, honey, you're so jealous. Don't need to be jealous. I'm committed to you. And she'd go, psh, I ain't worried about that. Oh, thanks a lot. She said, just be careful. And sure enough, maybe months, maybe a year later, you'd realize, ooh, man, that was the wrong thing. Pastor, why? Because women are more sensitive. And then we men get on our ego. I ain't got time to go there. I got to go. Number five. I got two more, and I got 10 minutes. Number five, stay anchored in your Christ-centered beliefs. The problem is most of us don't know what we believe. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. What do you believe?
Well, I don't know. Tell me what I believe.
No. I can't tell you what you believe. You need to get in this Word and then stand on the principles of God's Word. Because if you don't have something to stand on, then the storm will take you down. But you've got to stand and stay anchored on your Christ-centered belief. The problem with so many is we have so many things coming into our lives that we will let any belief come. Because if the media says it enough, it makes it true. And then even then, oh, God help me, Jesus, but let me go ahead and hit it. Because then we get to the point that you know, the world uses words that we don't want to be called. Oh, you're a bigot. Or you're a racist. You're this. No, no, no. I'm a believer. And I don't care who it hits or what it hits. I'm going to stand on Christ-centered beliefs. And I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says. Oh, you're just a conservative. You're a conservative, ignorant person. Isn't it amazing how that the world wants us to be tolerant of everything except Christianity? Why? Because the devil has a plan. And his plan is if he can't ensnare you from without, he'll try to ensnare you from within. Hear me, church. Steadfast. To be anchored in a position. Your position is in Christ. Your faith is literally and supernaturally connected to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The faith is that body of truth that leads us to know that we have been reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that has been written is summed up in the redemptive plan and the redemptive purpose of God. So we've got to know what we believe. You know, Pastor, there's some things. You know, I'm not talking about some things that, you know, I was raised Pentecostal. And if you were raised Pentecostal, then you understand when I say that basically if anything was fun, it was sin. If you smiled too much in the process, it was probably sin. You know, my daddy didn't necessarily believe this way, but a lot of the people in our church did. You know, they didn't want me to play ball because it was a sin. Okay, really? There was a lady that I didn't meet her, but Brian Cutshaw was telling me about her. And she said, is it a sin to go to Dairy Queen? I went, well, if it is, I'm going to hell like a bullet. Because I like me some Dairy Queen. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all going to hell too then. I'll tell you right now. I'm not talking about those peripheries. I'm talking about what you believe. Know what you believe. And when the devil comes and tries to get you off of that, stand your ground. Resist him. And according to James, he shall flee. Said, resist, therefore submit yourself. There it is. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he must flee. The problem is some of us just want to resist the devil before we submit to God. But you got to submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and then you will be able to stand. All right, number six. Can't believe I'm getting done. All right, number six. Let the faithfulness of others encourage you to do the same. Let the faithfulness of others encourage you to do the same thing. Here's what the Bible says. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What does that mean? That means that you are not alone in your trial, in your difficulty, or in your temptation. You are not alone. Somebody somewhere has been through what you've been going through. And somebody somewhere lasted through it, stood up against it, and overcame it. You ever looked at some people and go, I don't know how they made it through. Well, take some comfort that if they made it through, you can make it through. You know, I was dealing with a pastor and his wife who had been through a storm. And here's what some people said about this couple. He said, well, they've been through the battle, but he didn't fare as well in the battle as she did. Listen to me. You can go through anything as long as what you're going through doesn't get in you. I'm going to say it again. You can go through anything if what you're going through doesn't get in you. All right? You are not alone in your difficulty. Others have stood strong, and so can you. You can draw from the same source of strength as they have. You are God's child with the same access to Him. Come on, somebody. A father loves all of his children. Remind yourself of his faithfulness in the lives of others. And instead of thinking you are less than them, remind yourself that your Father is the same as theirs. That's what makes the difference. What makes the difference? Well, you know, if I'd have had a better father. No. You have the same father. In the spirit realm, you have the same father. Somebody has went through what you've been through and have come through it victoriously. I refuse to be a victim. I'm a victor. I refuse to be a victim. I'm a victor. I mean, we could all talk about the things that have not done well for us. We could all talk about the things where we have failed. We could talk about the things where we didn't feel like was unfair. Right? But Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I'm the product of rape. Can I tell you that God needed the DNA of that man and that woman to create you? And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And no matter what the world says and no matter what everybody else says about you, God says that I can take you and make something great out of it. So just begin to look at other people. You know, I know we're not supposed to judge other people, but if you want to get a quick pick-me-up, find somebody else worse off than you and give God praise. Because I promise you, if you look long enough, there's somebody worse off than you. I had a guy come to me and tell me one time he was very concerned about this situation and he was very just, he was very distraught. And I didn't know what had happened. And I said, dude, what is wrong? He said, Pastor, I'm not exaggerating. He said, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. I go, dude, what's the matter? He said, I'm making more money than I know what to do with. And I said, and that's a problem? Yeah, that's a problem. I go, well, brother, I can help you there. Come on. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have that problem? But here's the deal. When you're going through a problem, it is your problem. You ever heard somebody talk about their problems and you think, psh, that ain't nothing. It is to them. I remember I just started preaching and I was working hard, doing everything that I could do, trying to be a good steward of my money, and I needed a car payment. My car payment was coming due. I was single. I needed a car payment. Man, I needed $140. I'll never forget, $144.82. That's all I needed. A preacher that was older than me, he asked me, he said, well, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, man, I'm just praying, believing. I need some work. I'm not expecting it to come in the bank. Come on, somebody. I'm not expecting just a check to drop out of the sky. I just need to, you know, some of us miss opportunities of God because it comes dressed up in overalls. Hey. And so I said, I just need a side job or something that I can do to make this money. He said, what do you need? I said, $144.82. He laughed. He laughed at me. He better be glad that I had just got sanctified. Or I'd have punched him in his big old head. He said, man, that ain't nothing. I'll eat $100,000. And I went, wow, woo. But I thought to myself, well, $144.82 might as well be $100,000 to me because it's still an issue in my life. Don't discount what somebody else is going through, but don't discount what you're going through. Other people are going through worse, but they stood to it. Come on, somebody. Take heart. Find somebody who's been through some stuff. Counsel with them. Have them encourage you. Tell me how you made it through. Sometimes they can't articulate it, but sometimes some things are caught more than taught. My God, somebody hear me. Sometimes things just getting around somebody and that spirit kind of getting on you and that self-same spirit begin to raise you up and you don't know, I just feel better when I'm around this person because their spirit rubs off on me and I just want to take off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. I just want to do what God's called me to do. So six reminders. Come on, stand to your feet. Don't drink what the devil serves. Battle like a ballerina. Don't join the devil for lunch. Respond to his insisting with your resisting. Stay anchored to Christ-centered beliefs. And let the faithfulness of others encourage you to do the same. You know what? Let me give you this. If I see that last verse, number 9, correctly, Peter's telling us that we gain strength to resist by remembering those who are in similar trials and are standing. So if you are being assaulted, listen close to me, pay attention. If you're being assaulted, I'm not saying look for them, but if you find somebody or know someone else who is in a similar situation, a similar circumstance, pray for them. Pray for them. Because what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you, Ephesians 6:8. You begin to pray for them because there are plenty of people to pray for. If you're going through a trouble, pray for somebody else. See, the devil, my God, I'm trying to quit. The devil wants us to look inward, but the Lord wants us to look outward. The devil says, everything's about you. God says, everything's about him. For all things, oh, good gracious. For all things work together for the good, not just your good, the good. All things. Bow your heads with me. Today I want to give you the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, I promise you I won't embarrass you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.